FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it's June 6, 2018. Well, as always, make my day. Send me an email. I'll answer it, I promise, within a reasonable amount of time, and I will probably read it on the show. If you want to call and leave a message, 914-424-4142, or you can do Voxer. Just look for me, Kerry Lutz, on Voxer, and leave it there. So, what is happening here? And what is going on with the economy, trade, tariffs, taxes, employment numbers? The employment numbers are, at least if you believe what you read in the papers, unemployment down to generational lows. Now, you have to keep in mind that they changed the definition of unemployment a few times along the way. And if you stop looking for a job or stop collecting unemployment insurance, you're no longer considered unemployed. You're not part of the workforce, and therefore the number goes down. A lot of that manipulation happened during the prior administration, and it doesn't appear that the Trump administration has taken any steps to remedy that situation. Probably they should just get rid of the indicator altogether, but certainly the labor markets have strengthened. We know that because one number that didn't get frauded out was new unemployment insurance claims. That's a number, as long as it's not seasonally adjusted, that you could pretty much count on. Well, here's an expert on manufacturing and manufacturing employment, Lou Weiss, over at Manufacturing Talk Radio. Lou, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
So what about these employment numbers? They don't really tell the whole story, because really we have this thing called the workforce participation rate, which has gone up slightly under Trump, but not that substantially. But it does seem that in a lot of parts of the country, a lot of industries are unable to fill jobs.
That's true. And to a great extent, that's in manufacturing to the Midwest. We talk to a lot of people out there. We have a lot of our listeners there. And, you know, the problem, of course, is that there's a shrinking labor force, retirees, death, and a smaller workforce coming into the workforce. So it's a bit of a triangle, and it's not going to get any better unless organizations such as state government and local government and the schools to do training. And there's a lot of that actually going on. I think that one thing that would really help it the best, and I'm beginning to hear rumors to that effect, that these states are beginning to join together in groups, regional groups, to create better educational facilities and being able to put together deals to get people to stay on work longer with incentives, train other newbies coming into the workforce. But if anybody's waiting for the federal government to really step up, I think you got a long wait.
Yeah.
So we're enjoying the conversation that we're having with people that are starting really thinking out of the box about the way things are heading, which, of course, is what's going to help keep manufacturing growing. I think that the ISM, the Institute of Supply Management, numbers came out Friday, and the non-manufacturing came out today, and both are in the 58 percentile, which is very strong. Anything over 50 is perfectly showing growth, and that's where we're at. But you know, there are some headwinds that we're going to be facing, and you know, I don't want to steal your whole platform here, Kerry, but metal tariffs are really going to cause a problem
if they should occur. It's by no means assured.
What, Well, they have already occurred, and I blame the media for not really stepping up and painting the true picture. Steel and aluminum, the tariff went into effect on March 23rd. The reason why I know that is because my primary business, All Metals and Forge Group, got hit with a Homeland Security bill dated March 23rd for a tariff on a shipment that we received in California. And so it really started then. I think what didn't start until, see, the last Friday or this coming Friday, with this 1,300 items that are going to be tariffed. A good part of it is from Europe, and a good part is from our very best allies, Canada and Mexico. And I think these are the things that's going to potentially cause a trade war. And trade wars don't work. Well, you can ask Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, well, things are a little different now than during Herbert Hoover's times, obviously. Interesting thing is, you know, Canada and Mexico have become like little more than transshipment backdoor for China to ship goods to the U.S. tariff free. And that's right. What the U.S. is refusing to accept any longer because it's a scam. Look, a car now to be considered to be manufactured in North America could often have less than 50% parts composition in North America from North American mm-hmm. parts makers and the rest from China. Right. So look, be honest about it and don't run a scam on the US. And that's what Canada and Mexico are doing. And look, they can bitch about it all they like, but it's going to hurt them a heck of a lot worse than it's going to hurt the US.
Well, Canada is our biggest trading partner. And they do need to fix the NAFTA, which they do actually do every year. They modify and bring it up to speed. But if we do away with NAFTA, we're going to lose 200,000 jobs here in the United States.
Supposedly.
And that's not something that – I'm sorry?
Supposedly.
Well, supposedly or unless. But, you know, there seems to be – When George W. did it, he lost 230,000 manufacturing jobs in his country when he imposed his Canadian tariff. So there's some histrionics here that can prove that it could happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look, though, at Mexico, seventh largest trading partner of the U.S., you know,
right.
What's, you know, they were their first largest trading partner. So, and look, you know, the Mexican thing with the immigration out of control, they could put a stop to that in a week. Okay. Mexico could stop it, but they have no desire to, and they've never had their feet held to the fire to do it. So maybe the time is now. I'm generally a free trader, but when free trade becomes an excuse just to rip the country off, that's where I kind of draw the line. Free trade for the sake of free trade. You know, when we started NAFTA, the U.S. Had a surplus with Mexico. Now I think we got a $70 billion a year deficit. Yeah. And that strictly is a result of Chinese goods masquerading as Mexican goods moving across the border. And of course, they don't want the gravy train to end. So, hey, but let's move on to taxes. What impact is the tax reform having upon manufacturing companies across the country?
Well, I personally, and this is just a personal thing, I don't refer to it as tax reform. I call it a tax cut. They haven't reformed the tax system in a bazillion decades. So the tax reform, the tax discount is going to help the big people. I'm not sure. And actually, the tax cut on manufacturing hasn't really yet started showing up in the numbers. It's probably going to be another 30 or 60 days where you're going to see if, in fact, it's all cracked up to be what it's supposed to be. Personally, I think it's going to show improvement. But I think it's going to be short-lived, because if and inflation has already started, according to MAPI, according to Institute of Supply Management, and so on. So it's already started, but our numbers are still so high and so good, no one's paying a whole lot of attention on that. But I think it remains to be seen. I think that manufacturing has gotten a benefit by the fact that they can write off new equipment today instead of waiting 5 years, or a little bit over every year for 5 years. So that's a good thing. So, you know, they're getting higher productivity equipment that will also help and assist in the skill gap and so on. But that's where I see it. I think that we're probably 2 months away from seeing it reflect one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen certainly a lot of companies raise wages, benefits, give out bonuses, even Starbucks, a company that was vehemently opposed to any kind of tax cuts, were really, their employees became beneficiaries of it. Thousands of companies have done this, so it has to be having some effect. And look, where the people who do it, big corporations get the best benefit from it, obviously, because they saw their tax rate go from 30+ percent, 36% down to 21, which is 36.7% down to 21%, huge savings.
Yeah.
But the guy making 50 sure. to 75,000 a year, besides maybe getting those bonuses from Starbucks et al., Costco, whatever, also saw his tax bill get cut way, way back. So, you know, he's getting several thousand more. Yes, there's inflation. There's always been inflation. The rate, the true rate of price increases has been distorted by the government for many years. And
sure.
perhaps it's going
it's a game.
Up. Perhaps it's a game. So, you know, there's definitely things happening there. And certainly it's helped keep the stock market afloat. And GDP growth, you know, right now, it's been over 3%. It hadn't done 3% growth in all of Obama's two terms and W's
right.
last 2 or 3 years in office. So GDP growth is definitely up. Now, debt is also up, not necessarily a positive thing for sure at all levels of society, the federal deficit, everything. How long can that go on? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got a lot of factors. So
They're projecting 4% this year.
Mm-hmm.
So unless we hit some major headwinds, that would be really a good thing to see happen.
Yeah, it's kind of baked into the cake. At this point, we're already mid-year. Let's face it, half the year's over. Things, economy doesn't just turn around in 6 months. And these things generally,
right.
they generally tend to go again around election cycles as well. Hey, so
right.
the concept of not enough workers, though, we definitely see that in the manufacturing sector, right? Because the younger people, for some reason, don't think it's cool to be in manufacturing. Why is that?
Well, I think some people are still of the belief that manufacturing is dark, dirty, and dangerous. Meanwhile, if you've traveled around at all to manufacturing in the last couple of years, a lot of the manufacturing plants are, you know, they're carrying iPads and wearing white coats. So, and I've seen this. So there's a change. And I think the other major change is parental guidance. I think that from the last generation, it was always you have to go to college. You got to get a degree. You can't get a good job unless you have a college degree. And it's so totally untrue, particularly today. Today, a welder who goes in for a class one welding, he'll be making $75,000 in 2 years after he gets his certification. If you take underwater welding, this is insane. They make $150,000 a year, plus benefits, bonuses, 401ks, and so on. So you're talking about $200,000 a year and never went to college.
Uh-huh.
So, the parents, there was an event about 3 months ago all over the country where parents were invited into schools to be spoken to about exactly about this topic. Manufacturing's not a bad thing. We're always going to need manufacturing, whether we have robots or we have any other productivity improvements. It's still going to have to be manufacturing.
Yeah.
And they just have to see that, you know, going to college and having a $200,000 debt, which is going to take you 30 years to pay off, and not that there's anything wrong with it, but you're not going to make that money back being a school teacher.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, and or being a barista at Starbucks, making $15 an hour, as opposed to a welder. You know, I got an email from somebody who said, I'm a welder and I don't make $70,000. He was like in Alabama or deep south someplace. I mean, but a qualified welder, the numbers you're talking about, this is what they earn, like in places in the Midwest, in the East Coast, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe a little less down south. So
no question about it. You know, we had four vice presidents on our show from Huntington Ingalls Shipyards.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be sure that their welders that are building the ships in this country are making 150 plus.
Is that right?
And they're always looking for them.
Yeah, they're never out of work.
And they have their own training programs. You can go for a year training outside. You can come into what they call a four-year training program, and they take you through the whole steps. They want and need employees, and they're willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Lou, it's always great having you on. Just tell us, where do we find your show, your website?
MFGTalkRadio.com. We're the guys in the yellow jackets.
All right. Very cool. Well, hey, we'll put a link to it in our
Thanks,
site.
Gary.
My pleasure. Hey,
appreciate it.
By the way, don't forget, take a look at the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for a newsletter. Emails from you are welcome, kl@carrylutz.com. We'll send you proof about those welding rates. If you send us an email, Lou will pass it on to you. Lou, always great to talk to you. You be well.
Thank you much. Take care. You as well. Bye-bye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.